Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I am Jerry Dennison, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me, whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. You may email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com or like us on Facebook. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. We have Bible class beginning at 9 o'clock Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. Last week, Brother Rollin discussed never give up. We certainly are living in many uncertainties. These uncertainties cause some to have anxiety and worries about what will happen to them. Today, let's search the Scripture to see what the Holy Spirit of God revealed about God's grace and our faith. An understanding of God's grace is vital as we apply God's principles of forgiveness of sins and fellowship with God and His people. We must be careful to define God's grace as it has been explained in the inspired Scriptures. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Scriptures teach the true grace of God includes the commands of God. The Apostle Peter wrote in chapter 5, verse 12 of 1 Peter, "By Silvanus, our faithful brethren, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which ye stand." Peter affirmed his brief letter called 1 Peter, written to the saints, gave exhortation and testimony of the true grace of God. Therefore, by observing what the apostle wrote, we too can understand the true grace of God. In this epistle, Peter indicates living in the grace of God includes the following: obedience and holy living. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, we read, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." In chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Peter included abstaining from fleshly lusts, as he wrote, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation." Peter also included submitting to civil government, as he wrote in chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or to the governor, or unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For it is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Marital responsibilities are also included in living in the grace of God, as we read in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Likewise, ye wives, submit, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, that in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Peter included putting away worldliness, including sexual immorality, drinking intoxicating beverages socially and to excess, along with associated righteous behavior and idolatry, as he wrote, "Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, bantlings, and abominable idolatries." Peter included hospitality. As he said in chapter 4, verse 9, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." He included the work of elders in chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, by writing, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." Then Peter included submitting one to another in chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, in writing, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Peter included sober, watchful living in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 5. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions were accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." These are only some of the instructions the grace of God teaches us, so that we may stand in the true grace of God. As Paul told Titus in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Christians are not free to violate the word of his grace and conclude that they remain in the true grace of God. As Paul met with the elders from Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, he told them, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Paul warned those who were wanting to bind the law of Moses on the Gentile Christians in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Some religious groups today teach that you cannot fall from grace, but Paul taught that we can. One cannot disobey the will of God and rightly claim his forgiveness and fellowship while continuing to sin. In the letter to the Romans in chapter 5, verse 21 through chapter 6, verse 1, Paul said, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What say ye then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We have not establishing our own righteousness when we obey Jesus by faith. We are not meriting God's grace. God revealed his grace to Noah by commanding him to build an ark in Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Noah did not earn God's grace when he obeyed him by building the ark. The writer of the Hebrews said in chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Abraham also acted by faith when he prepared to offer Isaac, as God commanded. He did not earn God's grace in so doing. The Hebrew writer in verse 17 of chapter 11 states, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. James also uses Abraham as an example, as he said in chapter 2, verse 21 through 24, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seeing then how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and then was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. These men obtained God's grace when they faithfully obeyed God's word. God's grace is received today by faithful obedience too. God does not give his grace and accepts us despite our continuing in sin. He saves us so that we can no longer be ruled over by sin. Our society approves and condones many of the sins that God had condemned. We cannot continue in sin and have the grace of God. Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context. Consider all the inspired writer said and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think that you will come to the conclusion that there is a God, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is his holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then in verse 21 he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Then in verse 24, Jesus said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love him, but by obeying what he has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what his commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before him to give an account of our life. Thank you for being a part of this study. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.